My heart is glad because of God, my Savior, for he has looked upon his humble servant. And who am I? Who am I?
Militia of Immaculata, behold your mother. The path to total consecration to Our Lady in the spirit of Saint Maximilian Kolbe. This is part of the reading and brief commentary on a book recently published by the Militia Immaculata, an organization which Maximilian Mary Kolbe co-founded with six other conventual Franciscan seminarians on October 16, 1917, just 3 days after the last Fatima apparition of Mary. Back in the days of no cell phones, Jesus and Mary made these events happen in harmony with each other. The messages which the Mariologist Maximilian Kolbe taught about Mary were also harmonized with the messages of Fatima, but from the viewpoint of a theologian. If you would like a booklet, write KMMK at our website, kmmk-fm.org, under Contact. That is kmmk-fm.org, under Contact. Or call and leave your mailing address at 319-775-2579. That is 319-775-2579. There is no charge for this booklet. St. Maximilian Kolbe and the Militia of the Immaculata. St. Maximilian Kolbe was born in Poland in 1894, and about at the age of 10, he had a vision of the Virgin Mary. She offered him a white crown and red crown, representing purity and martyrdom. He chose both, a foreshadowing of his life of evangelical purity and sacrificial love. In 1910, he joined the conventual Franciscan order. He studied in Rome, where on October 16, 1917, with six other young friars, he founded the Militia Immaculata, or MI, which is now at International Public Association of the Faithful, erected by the Holy See. The MI is open to Catholics of all walks of life and promotes total consecration to Mary Immaculate as a most effective way to live one's baptism and confirmation. The MI encourages all people of goodwill to welcome Our Lady in their lives and develop a trusting relationship with her. The aim of the MI is to win the whole world for Christ through the Immaculata, the Mother of God and of the Church. Ordained a priest in 1918, Father Maximilian returned to Poland and began his untiring missionary activity, starting a monthly magazine and establishing two evangelization centers dedicated to the Immaculate Virgin, Niepokalanów, the City of the Immaculata in Poland, and Mugenzai Nansono in Japan. He envisioned missionary centers worldwide to better win the world for Christ through the Immaculata. He utilized the most modern techniques, including shortwave radio, and planned to build a motion picture studio. He is the patron of amateur radio because of this, which is how KMMK picked his name as our patron. The station's name is Maximilian Mary Kolbe, KMMK, after him. In 1939, during World War II at Niepokalanów, Father Maximilian welcomed thousands of refugees, especially Jews. In 1941, he was arrested by the Nazis and taken to Auschwitz concentration camp. There, he offered his life for another prisoner and was condemned to slow death in a starvation bunker. Father Kolbe died on August 14, 1941, from an injection of carbolic acid. Pope John Paul II canonized him as Saint and Martyr of Charity on October 10, 1982. Saint Maximilian Kolbe is considered a patron of journalists, families, prisoners, the pro-life movement, the chemically addicted, and those with eating disorders. St. Maximilian's insights on the Immaculate Conception anticipated the Marian theology of the Second Vatican Council and further developed the Church's understanding of Mary's role in God's plan of salvation. His Marian thought re-echoes in the Marian teachings of both John Paul II and Benedict XVI. From the Gospel according to St. John. This is from John chapter 19, verses 25 through 35.
At the cross you stood, O Mother, faithful in your silent mourning. At your cross we stand, O Jesus, keep us ever close to you.
By the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. Suffering must have pierced the heart of Mary as she stood beneath your cross. At that hour, in the midst of her suffering, Mary became the mother of us all. May we find shelter beneath her mantle of care.
After this, aware that everything was now finished, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I thirst." There was a vessel filled with common wine, so they put a sponge soaked in wine on a sprig of hyssop and put it up to his mouth. When Jesus had taken the wine, he said, "It is finished," and bowing his head, he handed over his spirit. Now, since it was the preparation day, in order that the bodies might not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath day of that week was a solemn one, the Jews asked Pilate that his legs be broken and they be taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of first the one, then of the other, who was crucified with Christ. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs, but one soldier thrust his lance into his side, and immediately blood and water flowed out. An eyewitness has testified, and his testimony is true. He knows that he is speaking the truth, so that you too may come to believe. And again, this was John chapter 19, verses 25 through 35. Chapter 1, at the school of the word, Lectio Divina, on John 19, verses 25 through 27. We access the heart of Kolbian spirituality and consecration to the Immaculata by placing ourselves at the school of the word. The most emblematic text of Scripture for our purpose is certainly John 19, 25 through 27. Saint Maximilian also referred to this text, admiring the loving plan of God and the dwelling and exuberant gift of God's love, which is represented by the Mother. Another gift yet, he wrote, a gift that comes from the pure gratuity in the heart of God in Christ. This is what Saint Maximilian said. Who would dare to imagine? What could you have given me more, O God, after having offered yourself to me to become mine? Your heart, inflamed with love for me, suggested to you another gift. Yes, yet one more gift. You asked us to become children, if we wish to enter the kingdom of heaven. You well know that a child needs a mother. You yourself established this law of love. Your goodness, your mercy, therefore, created for us a mother, the personification of your goodness and infinite love. From the cross on Golgotha, you offered her to us and us to her. From Kolbe Writing, 1145. Let us read with Saint Maximilian the source of this gift, there at Calvary, with Mary and John, to grasp the meaning of this event for us today. Lectio on John 19, verses 25 through 27. The context is solemn. We are at the culmination of the life of Christ when Jesus fully revealed his glory. He is on the cross that raises him to heaven, from which he draws all people to himself. From John 12, verse 32. This is the fulfillment of our salvation, the heart of the Paschal mystery, the moment of that supreme gift of love. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. From John chapter 3, verse 16. The Father manifested that love through the gift of his Son in the Incarnation, and that mystery now culminates in the gift of his life for us. In this solemn context occurs the gift of the Mother, the penultimate act, we might say, of his giving himself for our salvation. At verse 30, the evangelist tells us, when Jesus had taken the wine, he said, "It is finished," and bowing his head, he handed over his spirit. In this solemn context, the entrusting is of great value. The gift of the Mother is part of what Jesus was to accomplish. It seems that all is finished after the entrusting of the disciple to the Mother and the Mother to the disciple. We find four women at Calvary in verse 25, among whom the mother of Jesus stands out, and John refers to her using that title. Also in Cana, he calls her by that title. Verses 26 through 27. In these verses, we look at what scholars have called a detection scheme. Jesus sees, he says, "Look." We find this scheme again in John's Gospel, where John the Baptist sees Jesus coming and says, "Look, the Lamb of God." See John chapter 1, verse 29 through 30, and John chapter 1, verse 36. This literary scheme reveals the mission of the indicated character. Therefore, the passage of the cross, Jesus explains to the mother what her mission is, to be the mother of the disciple. But who is the beloved disciple? It is the one who receives the word and obeys the commandments of Jesus. That is, the one who loves as he loved. Here, then, the disciple represents all the disciples of the Lord. The beloved disciple can be you or me. Each of us is loved by Jesus. Mary's motherhood, which began at the Annunciation, assumes at Calvary a universal dimension. Since then, the Second Vatican Council teaches Mary takes care of the brethren of her Son. From Lumen Gentium 62, who became from that moment her own children. Of course, the articulation from Lumen Gentium is something echoed from the very beginnings of the Church about this relationship of the Church to Mary. Yes, from that hour. So it is written in the Gospel of John, it is the hour of the cross, the hour of the manifestation of the glory of Christ, the hour of salvation, the heart of the paschal mystery of Christ itself. What happens from that hour on? The disciple took her into his home. This is the consecration to Mary, welcoming the gift of Christ. John takes Mary into his home, among his own things, into his inner life space, as St. John Paul II says. This gift also concerns us today. Every disciple of the Lord, on the day of one's baptism, together with the gifts of Christ, receives the gift of the Mother. To consecrate oneself to Mary does not mean, therefore, to create the gift, to make up something. The gift is a gift, is free and unmerited, and remains so even if we are not conscious of it. Mary always exercises her motherhood, whether we are aware or not. What we can do is accept the gift of the Mother, like all gifts of Christ, to accept her as John did, to take Mary into our life, to live this mother-child relationship with gratitude and awareness. As John Paul II continues, it means accepting, like John, the one who is given to us anew as our mother. It also means taking on the commitment to be conformed to Christ, putting ourselves at the school of his mother and allowing her to accompany us. From Ecclesia De Eucharista 57. There is another passage that encourages us to take Mary with us. It's a text from the Gospel of Matthew. Do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. From Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. It is the invitation of the angel to Joseph, while he had decided to divorce her quietly. This motherhood comes from the Spirit. It is a gift of the Spirit. This is true of Mary's motherhood and Jesus and of her spiritual motherhood of us. She will bear a son, said the angel to Joseph. That is what the spiritual motherhood of Mary is, to give birth to Jesus within us. Others have brought up this idea of the evangelization that we should be doing as Catholic Christians. We should be giving birth to Jesus within us and, in turn, giving birth to Jesus in others. And this is something that St. Francis of Assisi preached. It is in the prologue of the rule of the secular Franciscans, which St. Francis wrote himself. This is the motherhood of Mary to form Jesus in us. St. John Paul II recalled it very well on several occasions. When speaking to young people, he invited them to take Mary into their lives. She will discharge her ministry as mother and train you and mold you until Christ is fully formed in you. This is from the message, Behold Your Mother, for the 18th World Youth Day, April 13th, 2003. Number 3. Saint Maximilian, in turn, invites us to live the consecration to Mary with this awareness. In Mary's womb, our soul must be reborn after the form of Jesus Christ. She is bound to feed the soul with the milk of her grace, raise it lovingly as she nourished, looked after, and raised Jesus. At her knee, the soul must learn to know and love Jesus. From her heart, it must draw love toward him, or even love him with her, and become like him through love. And this is Colby writing, number 1295. Saint Maximilian suggested a truly beautiful program. We should not worry about taking Mary into our lives. If it's about experiencing this kind of motherhood that causes us to conform to Christ, to become similar to him in love, the only commandment of the Lord. There is another very inspiring passage from Saint Maximilian's writings that reveal a still deeper meaning of consecration to Mary. That is the MI, to let her into all hearts, to bring her into being within all hearts, that by entering those hearts and taking most perfect possession of them, she may there give birth to the sweet Jesus, God, and there raise him to perfect age. What a beautiful mission. Is that not true? The elevation of man to God-man through the mother of God-man. Colby writing, number 508. This text adds something new. Welcoming Mary into our lives is to accept and experience her motherhood in us with full consciousness. But inside this awareness, we find not only acceptance of the spiritual motherhood of Mary, but also the willingness to become collaborators of her motherhood toward every man. This is the rich and original interpretation of Father Colby. The motherhood of Mary is not just given to us, it is also entrusted to us. Having experienced her motherhood, today we can become her collaborators. The evangelizing action of the Church is precisely the extension of the maternal mission of Mary. The MI is to let her into all hearts so that she can exercise her spiritual motherhood. What a beautiful mission! Is that not true? Says Saint Maximilian. A question for discussion. What is the role of Mary in the history of salvation and in my own personal history? Chapter 2, Consecration to the Immaculata in the Heart of the Trinity with Our Gaze Fixed on Christ. The gift of the Mother in trusting and consecrating ourselves to Mary, our belonging to her, are in themselves a gift of the Most Holy Trinity. The Father reveals all his love for us in the Son's sacrifice on the cross. The Spirit makes the gift of the crucified Christ alive and present. The love that the Father manifested in Christ is offered to us by the Holy Spirit, who remains forever in the Church. The motherhood of Mary, therefore, is also offered to us by the Holy Spirit. As her physical motherhood is a work of the Spirit, what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, so her spiritual motherhood is from the Holy Spirit. Then it is a gift of the Trinity, but it also refers to the Trinity. Consecration to Mary has the Trinity as its goal and as the ultimate reference, because the whole Christian life is related to the Trinity. Mary herself is entirely related to the Trinity. She is the mother of the Son of God, beloved daughter of the Father, and the temple of the Holy Spirit. from Lumen Gentium, number 53. Saint Maximilian cared very much about the Trinitarian dimension of consecration to Mary, because everything that happened to Mary is a work of the Holy Trinity. Mary lived a unique experience in the action of the Most Holy Trinity in her life at the moment of the Annunciation. The one and triune God looked upon the lowly estate of his handmaid, and he who is mighty works in her great things. God the Father entrusts to her as a son, his own son. God the Son enters into her womb while the Holy Spirit molds the body of Christ in the womb of the most pure virgin. And the Word was made flesh, from John 1:14. The Immaculata becomes Mother of God. Christ, God-man, is the fruit of the love of the one and triune God and of Mary Immaculate. From Colby Writing, number 1295. It is important to understand that, in light of Father Colby's considerations, the profound relationship between Mary and the Trinity is the reason why our consecration to her implies to begin an itinerary that leads us to the encounter with the Most Holy Trinity. Mary conceived by the Holy Spirit, and in her life, she was always docile to the action of the Spirit. Consecration, entrustment to Mary, therefore, becomes trusting in the divine presence. In the Holy Spirit, Mary takes care of me, of us, the world. My life and that of the world are in good hands, in the hands of the Spirit, first of all, and of this Mother, who exercises her motherhood by the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit who associates Mary to himself in the work of sanctification of men, the motherhood in the order of grace, from Lumen Gentium, number 61, that Mary exercises in the Church is in the Holy Spirit. Even today, like that day at the foot of the cross, we receive the gift of this motherhood, thanks to the Holy Spirit, as we have already pointed out. Mary, for her part, from the moment of the Annunciation, was always docile to the action of the Spirit. Saint Luke emphasizes a usual attitude of Mary, who treasured all these things in her heart, from Luke 2:19-51. Mary accomplished it in the Holy Spirit, in whom the Word is alive. The first attitude in living out our consecration to Mary is precisely to listen to the Word in total availability, trust, surrender to the Spirit. Let yourself be led by the Holy Spirit. Let yourself be led by the Holy Spirit through the Immaculata, from Colby Writing, 987. As Saint Maximilian reminded himself in the text that speaks of the consecration to Mary as a surrender into the hands of Mary and docility in the work that the Spirit accomplishes in us through her. Mary is the beloved daughter of the Father, as it is written in the text of the Second Vatican Council. We see in her the fully realized plan of God for his creatures. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has chosen in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us into the adoption of the children of Christ to himself. As Paul writes in his epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. In this sense, Mary is the beloved daughter of the Father, because he accomplished first of all in her the dream that he had for us all, making her holy and immaculate in love. Contemplating this mystery, Saint Maximilian wrote that the Immaculata is the ultimate limit between God and creation. She is a faithful image of God's perfection, of his sanctity. from Colby Writing 1232. Mary's life is under the sign of the gratuitous love of the Father from the beginning of her existence. Mary feels all its intensity when, with grateful astonishment and singing to her God, she exclaims, "He has been mindful of his humble state of his servant," from Luke 1:48. This ocean of love that inundates her from the first instant of her conception becomes a river of love that grows in following of her own Son, and which will reach its climax under the cross. There, at the foot of the cross and conformed to her Son in love, from Philippians 2:5, she receives every man for whom he offered himself and whom he was asking her to embrace as her child. From this attitude of love and acceptance of Mary's motherhood arises another fundamental attitude in living our consecration to the Immaculata: love. It is love that conforms us, as it did her, to her Son. With our gaze fixed on Christ, Mary is especially the Mother of God. And then, in this entrustment, consecration, to her, the relationship with Christ is essential. We already saw it in the previous reflection, but now we come back to it because it is very important. The goal of consecration to Mary is further growth in faith in Christ the Lord. Mary is entirely relative to Christ. The words that Mary said to the servants at Cana are the words that she repeats to each of us. "Do whatever he tells you," from John chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. Mary did first what Christ said. In her life, we find the accomplished model of the disciple of the Lord. "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice," from Luke 8:21. Jesus points to the life of Mary as a life fully conformed to his word. Mary, for this intimate union with the entire life of the Son, in obedience to the will of the Father, invites us to turn our gaze to him. She reminds us that he is the way, the truth, and the life, from John 14, verse 6. "Do whatever he tells you" is her own sharing of a life experience which takes place in the service of love for Christ, of a life that finds its sense in conformity to him and that experiences existentially the union of branch to the vine, from John 15, verse 1 and forward. Mary expresses her motherhood toward us by showing us the Son, wishing our conformity to him. Saint Maximilian reminds us that Mary aims at making us reach the stature of Christ. She wants us to shine with his beauty. Consecration to Mary, therefore, is not just a devotion, an idea, but a path of conformity to Christ. It means to walk with Mary toward Christ, centering more and more our life on him. From that arises a life commitment, the communion with Christ and the conformity to him up to the total gift of ourselves, as Saint Maximilian did. In him, the most challenging words of the gospel became reality. Love for enemies, and above all, the greatest love, to lay down one's life for his friends, from John chapter 15, verse 13. Which is exactly what Jesus did for us on the cross. Consecration to Mary, as taught by Saint Maximilian Kolbe, is a Christ-centered experience. It is not centered on Mary, but on Christ, as St. Paul VI emphasized in the homily for Kolbe's beatification on October 17, 1971. Maximilian Kolbe was an apostle of the veneration of the Blessed Virgin, seen in her first, original privileged splendor as she defined herself at Lourdes, the Immaculate Conception. It is impossible to separate the name, the activity, and the mission of Blessed Kolbe from that of Mary Immaculate. It was he who instituted the Militia of the Immaculata here in Rome, even before he was ordained a priest on October 16, 1917. We can commemorate its anniversary today. It is well known how the humble and meek Franciscan, with incredible audacity and extraordinary organizational genius, developed the initiative and spread devotion to the Mother of Christ, contemplated as clothed with the sun, from Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. This devotion was the focal point of his spirituality, his apostolate, and his theology. Let no hesitation restrain our admiration and commitment to all that our new blessed has left us as a heritage and as an example, as if we too were distrustful of such an exaltation of Mary in view of her two other theological movements, the Christological and Ecclesiological, which seem to compete today with the Mariological. On the contrary, there is no competition, for in Father Kolbe's Mariology, Christ holds not only the first place, but the only necessary and sufficient place in the economy of salvation. His love of the Church and its salvific mission was never forgotten either in his doctrinal outlook or in his apostolic aim. On the contrary, it is precisely from Our Lady's complementary, subordinate role in regard to Christ's universal saving design for man that she derives all her prerogatives and greatness. How well we know it, and Kolbe, in accord with the whole Catholic doctrine, the whole liturgy, and the entire theology of the interior life, sees Mary included in God's plan of salvation as the term fixed by eternal counsel, as the woman filled with grace, as the seed of wisdom, as the woman destined from eternity to be the Mother of Christ, as the Queen of the Messianic Kingdom, and at the same time as the handmaid of the Lord, chosen to participate in the redemptive act as Mother of God, man, our Savior. Mary is the one through whose intercession men reach Jesus, and the one through whom Jesus reaches men. From L. Bovar, Le Trône de la Sagesse, page 69. Pope Paul VI continues, "Therefore, our Blessed is not to be reproved, nor the Church within him, because of the enthusiasm for the formal religious veneration of the Mother of God. This veneration, with its rites and practices, will never fully achieve the levels it merits, nor the benefits it can bring precisely because of the mystery that unites her to Christ and which finds fascinating documentation in the New Testament. The result will never be a Mariolatry, just as the sun will never be darkened by the moon, nor will the mission of salvation specifically entrusted to the ministry of the Church ever be distorted if the latter honors Mary, an exceptional daughter and a spiritual mother. The characteristic aspect, if you like, the original quality of Blessed Kolbe's devotion of the hyperdulia to Mary, is the importance he attributes to it with regard to the present needs of the Church, the efficacy of her prophecy about the glory of the Lord and the vindication of the humble, the power of her intercession, the splendor of her exemplariness, the presence of her maternal charity. The Council confirmed us in these certainties, and now from the heavens, Father Kolbe is teaching us and helping us to meditate upon them and live them. This Marian profile of the new blessed places him among the great saints and seers who have understood, venerated, and sung the mystery of Mary. This reading was from St. Paul VI's Beatification of Father Kolbe on October 17, 1971. Since then, he became a saint. Chapter 3, Consecration to the Immaculata with Mary in the Church. Let us continue our itinerary of preparation or deepening of our consecration to the Immaculata in the MI, turning to what we call the ecclesial dimension of the consecration to the Immaculata, with Mary in the cenacle. At the foot of the cross, the scene described by John 19, verse 25 to 27, presents Mary as she was entrusted to us as a mother by the dying Redeemer. At Cana, the mother says, "Do whatever he tells you," from John chapter 2, verse 5. We will focus our attention on the nascent church gathered with Mary, waiting for the Holy Spirit after the resurrection, from Acts chapter 1, verse 14. Mary appears intimately united to the church that lives in history, then at all times, in prayer, in communion, and mission. We cannot separate Mary from the church. The mystery of the one merges with that of the other. The fathers of the church had already emphasized in their reflection the intimate bond that joins Mary to the church. St. Ambrose, in particular, states that everything that in Scripture said about Mary can be said about the church, and all that is said about the church can be said about Mary. Mary is the model, the image, the anticipation of the church. The Second Vatican Council will give particular emphasis to the relationship between Mary and the Church, particularly in relation to her virginal motherhood. As Mary is the mother who virginally generates the Son of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, so also the Church is the mother who generates the children of God by the Spirit through preaching and baptism. And Mary is not only the model of the church, but in fact she cooperates in the rebirth and the faithful in the church and continues to play a maternal role within the church. Mary at the Annunciation accepted the word of God and heard that the Holy Spirit will come to you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, from Luke chapter 1, verse 35. The church shares the same experience at Pentecost. Mary and the disciples received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and from that moment, the maternity of the church begins. The gospel will be announced to all nations. The motherhood of Mary continues in the maternity of the church until the end of time through the preaching and baptism. The mystery that joins Mary to the church makes our consecration to Mary ultimately a consecration to Jesus in the church. To belong to Mary means to belong to the church. We cannot ignore this ecclesial dimension of the consecration to Mary. If Mary was the cenacle of Jerusalem with the nascent church, even today, we meet Mary in the church that proclaims the gospel and celebrates the liturgy. As we can deduce, then, to consecrate oneself to Mary is not simply a devotional act. To consecrate oneself to Mary means to be committed to be an active member within the church and recreates the cenacle's atmosphere, prayer, communion, and mission, in continuous docility to the Holy Spirit. It means to be committed to live with the church, sentir cum ecclesia, as the fathers of the church put it, by embracing the great ideals of the church. Each of us should foster the desire and commitment for the unity of the church, first of all, for which Jesus prayed before his passion, from John chapter 17. To stay with Mary in the cenacle means to wish that all of God's children are gathered around the Eucharist. Today, those who believe in Christ are not yet fully united. We must feel the responsibility to pray for the Christian unity and to participate in the work of evangelization that is extension of Mary's maternal mission. As missionary disciples, we are aware that the word of the Lord is too far from being accomplished. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures, from Mark 16, verse 15. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The Militia Immaculata Movement. In Kolbian spirituality, the ecclesial dimension is not simply a corollary, albeit important. It is a fundamental point. In St. Maximilian's vision, authentic consecration to Mary does not exist if it is not referenced to the Church, especially in reference to the mission of the Church. We could say that what is truly original in St. Maximilian compared to other forms of consecration to Mary and the Church is precisely its missionary and universal dimension. He founded the Militia Immaculata movement in 1917, when he was still a young man, with a few resources, but with a great ideal in his heart. As time went on, that ideal would become more clear: to win the whole world for Christ through the Immaculata, to embrace the entire globe, so that she may extend her dominion in the hearts of all who live in any corner of the earth, from Kolbe writing number 1210. In the original MI, St. Maximilian delineated the characteristics of the MI movement. He indicated the goal of this movement with these words: to bring about the conversion of sinners, heretics, schismatics, etc., especially Freemasons, and the sanctification of all, under the patronage and through the mediation of the Blessed Virgin Mary Immaculate, from Kolbe writing 1368. To attain this purpose, St. Maximilian considered one's total consecration to the Immaculata the essential condition, from the same Kolbe writing 1368. St. Maximilian founded the MI with clear objective that everyone be converted and become a saint. Whoever is consecrated to the Immaculata in the Militia Immaculata movement embraces the mission of the Church to proclaim the gospel to every person, to the ends of the earth, collaborating in Mary's maternal care for the brethren of her Son, which continues until they are led into the happiness of their true home, from Lumen Gentium 62. In this context, we also find St. Maximilian. The charismatic gift he received is the spiritual insight about Mary's maternal role in the Church and in the life of every person, and the intuition regarding the fact that his mother urges us to collaborate in her maternal mission. This is from Kolbe writing 1220. Jesus' gift from the cross is the source of the charism of the MI movement. The gift of his mother to John, which took place at the climax of the mystery of redemption. This motherhood that we received calls us to ensure that Christ is born through the mother in the hearts of all men. Let us refer again to a text that defines beautifully the MI identity and mission. That is the MI, to let her into all hearts, to bring her into being within all hearts, that by entering those hearts and taking most perfect possession of them, she may there give birth to the sweet Jesus, God, and there raise him to perfect age. What a beautiful mission. Is that not true? The elevation of God-man through the God-man's mother. From Colby Rodding, 508. This collaboration with the maternal mission of Mary can be implemented in different ways. Saint Maximilian indicated three levels of membership and participation in the MI. To the first level, MI1, belong to those who live their consecration individually. To MI2 belong to those who live the MI spirituality communally, in order to implement its goals together, as well as individually, and thus fulfill the Marian mission that God has entrusted to the movement. Finally, the third level, MI3, belong those who live the total dedication to the MI ideal and apostolate, as happens, for example, in the Cities of the Immaculata, in the Institutes of Colbian Inspiration, and also individual MI members who strive to be totally dedicated to the MI ideals and mission. These different forms of participation in the movement have been confirmed in the MI General Statutes. When the MI was recognized by the Holy See as a public association of the faithful, universal and international, that is, an association which the Church identifies herself and acts in the name and by mandate of the Universal Church. Therefore, the MI truly is a great ecclesial family in which everyone can find his or her place. Welcoming the call to Marian consecration in the spirit of Saint Maximilian means to accept the invitation to live a church experience in an ecclesial reality that is spread throughout the world with more than 4 million members worldwide. Questions for discussion. Do you also want to welcome Mary into your life and participate with her maternal mission in the church and the MI movement? The commitment in our life to pray the Holy Rosary daily. You can just start off with a few Hail Marys, for instance, and maybe work yourself up to 10 a day. You don't have to start with the whole rosary if you're not used to that practice. And then others who have been doing the rosary for a while may even start to pray another rosary, like, for instance, is recommended at Fatima, just for the world. Bookends to Christ's earthly life are People from Age to Age Shall Call Me Blessed, the Luke 1:28 visit from Gabriel, and Behold Your Mother, one of the last seven words of Jesus. A tangible way to call Mary blessed is to get the booklet, Behold Your Mother, and consecrate yourself to Jesus through Mary. Get the booklet from kmmk-fm.org, kmmk-fm.org, contact, or call 319-775-2579, and leave your address for this no-charge booklet, 319-775-2579.